Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Prepare for a righteous reckoning in the new season of the HBO original series, The Righteous Gemstones. When the spoiled gemstone children finally get their wish to take control of the church, they discover leadership is harder than they imagined and that their extravagant lifestyle comes with a heavy price. Starring Danny McBride, John Goodman, Edie Patterson, and Adam Devine, watch the all-new season of The Righteous Gemstones, streaming June 18th on Max. Subscription required. Visit max.com for details.
I think my favorite question that we get on Ask Amy Anything is, did you ever play sports? It's my favorite one. Although there's some other really funny ones too. I get a lot of all the interviews you've ever done, who's your favorite? From now on, the answer is my mom. My mom is my favorite interview I've ever done. A lot of people want to know about my sleep schedule. A lot of people want to know about my date horror stories. That always makes me laugh. People always want my predictions for the Super Bowl in June. Or actually, I just got a question about, are the Spurs going to make the playoffs next year? It's June. We haven't even crowned a champion for this year. The draft hasn't even taken place yet. But he wants to know if the Spurs are going to make the playoffs next year.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
some of these are seriously really funny. I do like the questions that you posed, except the one about revenge, and you gave me 20 seconds. 20 seconds. How was I supposed to do that in 20 seconds? You ambush with me with these questions sometimes. Like, I need a little chance to process and think about it. I've got many of bad date revenge stories, though. I've got some good ones.
That could have, you know, friends,
you said
maybe.
Family member. How do I get revenge on a family member?
It.
Well, that was part of the question. It came out of your mouth. Yes, you did in fact say it. But I know it wasn't your question. Yeah, so this one from Christian. In all the years you've done radio, what is your favorite moment on the air? Actually, that one I could answer. But my least favorite? Oh, gosh, there have been so many. I probably can't give you one for my least favorite. I could definitely give you one for my all-time favorite. I will go back and answer as many of the questions as I possibly can. Of course, barring the ones where I'm needing to make a prediction about the playoffs next year, when these playoffs haven't even finished up yet. It's body wash. That's what it's called. Not shower gel. Thank you, David. Body wash. That's what I use. I do have bars of soap in my showers so that people who come to visit, if that's what they prefer, they can use bars of soap. And I wash my hands with bars of soap because I feel like they do a better job, especially when I've been out with the dog or doing yard work. But body wash is what I do. Thank you, David. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. You should have seen Jay's face as I'm trying to get him to understand what I'm talking about. The two of us, it was like the Dumb and Dumber, a Dumb and Dumber skit. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Thank you, as always, for your questions, for Ask Amy Anything. I know I've said this multiple times in the past month, but we are going to do a video version of Ask Amy Anything. The key is that we didn't want to cannibalize our latest video on our YouTube channel, which was the Chubby Bunny. And so because we just posted Chubby Bunny, we decided to wait a little bit. I know a lot of you have checked it out. I kind of do that with my blog, too. I leave time in between because if I'm constantly generating blogs, well, then I can't promote one or talk about one more than the other. A lot of you love our YouTube channel. We appreciate those of you who subscribe and who check out what we do away from the radio studios. And then also, yeah, thank you. So many of you have replied to my blog about hiking the Grand Canyon, the bucket list item that exceeded all my expectations. And it's really funny because the opening, well, the post, when you share the link on social media, it grabs a picture. and it puts the picture up along with the post, along with the link. A lot of people just look at the picture and say, oh, great picture, and don't realize there's two dozen more pictures inside the blog post. But many of you have shared your Grand Canyon experiences and some of your own photos as well. And I appreciate all the feedback. So all of that you can find on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, as well as the links to our podcast every weekday morning. We still have so much to get to, and I don't know that we're going to, because once again, in a roundabout way, the Live Golf experience has stolen the show. You all may remember in 2023, actually, we're going to look back next year and say something similar. In 2022, the Live Golf drama, it never left. For months, from February until, say, August, it was a major storyline. Producer Jay was keeping track of how many days in a row we talked about Live Golf. And here we are again. Now, I don't think this will be as big a deal, but when Rory McIlroy finally breaks his silence, when we hear from Tiger Woods, when we continue to hear from other golfers who are ticked off that the commissioner of their tour, the guy that's supposed to be representing them and their best interests, that he made this deal with the LIV Tour under cover of night. Well, when we hear from them, I think there's going to be a lot of angst, similar to the way that it was as golfers were leaving for the LIV Tour. And then I think about those golfers, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, we'll hear from him in a second, Phil Mickelson, who was so far ahead of the curve, how validated they must feel this week. But it was a bombshell, and we'll talk about it with our friend Matt Adams of Fairways of Life, his TV and radio show, and then also of the Golf Channel. If you haven't heard the latest, Jay Monahan called a players-only meeting in Toronto where the RBC Canadian Open is supposed to take place. I'm not sure if they're on schedule because of the wildfires and the smoke, but after issuing a memo that really didn't give a whole lot of information, but just indicated that they are moving forward on a merger with LIV, he then gathered them together for a players-only meeting. And he was, in fact, called a hypocrite. According to Monahan himself, there was a lot of emotion. Emotions were running high.
I would describe the meeting as intense, certainly heated. This is a very complex. Obviously, it's been a very dynamic and a complex couple of years. And for players, I'm not surprised that, you know, this is an awful lot to ask them to digest. And this is a significant change for us, you know, in the direction that we were going down. But as I'm trying to explain, and I will continue to explain as we go forward, this ultimately is a decision that I think is in the best interest of all of the members of the PGA Tour.
He does at least admit that it's a significant change. In other words, flip-flop, hypocrite. But also, he makes the players sound like they're stupid, like they can't possibly understand what he's doing, even though they make up the PGA Tour. That part in the middle where he says, it's very complex, it's complicated over the last couple of years. I can understand why they have questions. Yeah, they have questions because you kept them in the dark. There's only one reason that Jay Monahan did not inform the tour members. Okay, maybe there's two. Number one, he knew they would not be on board with it. The majority of them could have left for the LIV Tour if they wanted to. They didn't. They stayed behind. And then many of them were outspoken about why they love the PGA, why they thought LIV was a bad idea, why they thought the model was not sustainable, why they felt like it was a money grab to jump to the Saudi Arabian-backed LIV Tour with its bottomless pit of money. Not to mention Jay Monahan himself, right? So he was leading the charge, criticizing LIV publicly. And don't you worry, we'll hear from him a year ago just to kind of set the whole stage. But the players themselves likely would not have been on board. And why? Why do you need to merge with Liv? Liv is like a wart on your backside if you're the PGA Tour. It doesn't matter. We haven't seen any big name golfers bolt. Didn't seem like there were more that were about to leave PGA for Liv. And so Jay Monahan kept this quiet, just a couple of PGA Tour policy board members so they could work it out over the last 7 weeks. That's how tight the circle. While he's negotiating with the Saudis, specifically Yasser Al-Rumayyan, who is the governor of the fund. It's called the Public Investment Fund. PIF is what I've been calling it, but he's essentially in charge of the money. And the other reason that Jay did not speak up about it is because the players with their power and their platforms have far greater reach. Potentially, they could have, if they were really ticked about it, they could have killed it before he ever got a chance to sign on the dotted line because of their power and their influence. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jay went on CNBC, did a press conference, kept using the term historic. It's historic day. It's historic for the sport. And he points to the long-term vision for golf.
It's less about how people respond today.
Oh.
And it's all about how people respond in 10 years. And when they see the impact that we're having on this game together, there'll be a lot of smiles on people's faces, and there'll be a lot more people playing this game all over the world. And if you're a young player that wants to get to the highest level of the game today, you'll be more inspired than you've ever been before.
I just don't know if that's true, but I also am blown away by the fact that he's come to that agreement months after he ripped the LIV Tour and banned. Remember, he was the one who banned LIV golfers from competing. So instead of merging and allowing the fans to see their favorites, he tried to ban them from all PGA Tour events and from some of the majors until the majors decided they would do their own thing. I mean, the backlash, it's thick and it's loud and it's only just begun. However, I do believe it'll fizzle out quickly. And I think Jay Monahan is more than willing to take the backlash, a little bit like Roger Goodell, right? He's the insulation for the NFL owners. He's paid handsomely to be the face, to be the one who's hated. He's paid handsomely to be the voice, to take the criticism, to deflect it from the NFL owners. That's what his job is. And in the case of Monahan, he did this on the DL. He didn't want the players to know because he knew what the reaction would be. Now that it's out there and it can't be undone, all right, go ahead. Freak out. It's all right. We got more money to do whatever we want. And the money, of course, is what he's after because there's no other reason. What do they do? They maybe absorb the LIV events onto their own tour. Maybe that's part of the agreement. But this deal was made without consulting the vast majority of the players. He didn't care what the membership thought. And according to some who were in the meeting, oh yeah, he definitely got called a hypocrite. Jeff Ogilvy said it was tense, this meeting that lasted about an hour.
There's some grumpy players in there.
Grumpy.
I feel a little bit sort of... I'm not lied to, but that the tour sort of changed its position kind of quickly,
yeah,
like, and dropped it on us like that really fast. So maybe there's a feeling of a lack of trust a little bit in the leadership. I don't know if that was all of that's not everyone in the room, because it's not me, I don't think. It just feels like nobody really knows what's happening and that the players are out of the loop, and no one really ever likes being out of a loop. You know, everyone likes a bit of information, and especially when it's your livelihood and your job and the sport that you love. So it was an interesting meeting. Sometimes meetings can get a little bit spicy. It wasn't too bad, but I'm glad I wasn't Jay today.
I'm glad I wasn't Jay today. I mean, remember the high horse that he got on before Matt Adams joins us from the British Isles? We will play that Jay Monahan from last year. It's a complete about face. And poor Rory. He's been hung out to dry. He was a self-described defender of the PGA Tour. They just hung him out to dry. a little more. This one, Brendan Todd, who was in the meeting with Jay Monahan.
The memo today just said that there's going to be a combination of the LIV, PGA, and DP World Tours, that the PGA Tour will still have a majority stake on the policy board, but that Al Rumayyan will be on the board, and that somehow there's some merging of the tours. They're going to try and keep some team component in professional golf, but try to get some of this the disruption and, maybe some of the bitterness out of the professional game, which is probably a positive. But, I think for all of us out here on the PGA Tour, we're really anxious to hear the details to see, how it affects each and every player in the tour going forward.
When they say it's not about the money, you generally know it's about the money. Just admit it, Jay Monahan. You needed resources. You wanted the power, and you took out the ally and the lawsuits. I'm sorry, not the ally. You made an ally. You took out the lawsuits, and you eliminated the competition. And you also got a whole lot of money for your tour. It seems pretty simple. Just about as simple as he spelled it out when players were revolting for LIV, right? He said it was about a money grab, too. And all of that about how the PGA, it's the right thing to do. No one's ever been embarrassed to say they were on the PGA Tour. We have charitable endeavors. Why would you ever want to go play on the LIV Tour? Funny stuff. Really funny stuff now.
I'm glad I wasn't Jay today.
That's Jay's new drop. I'm glad I wasn't Jay today. Matt Adams of the Golf Channel and Fairways of Life is joining us from across the pond. I know people get so mad when I say it, but it's the only British phrase I've got for you that's even remotely accurate. We'll get his reaction, and hopefully he's had a chance to gauge the reaction of some of the PGA Tour members. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our hump.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply. T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It probably is an issue for players that chose to go and take that money. And I think you have to ask yourself the question, why? Why is this group spending so much money, billions of dollars, recruiting players and chasing a concept with no possibility of a return? At the same time, there's been a lot of question, a lot of comments about growth of the game. And I ask, how is this good for the game that we love?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Okay, Jay Monahan. That was almost exactly a year ago. I'm trying to keep a straight face, but I can't. Every time I listen to his comments from a year ago, so much on his high horse about the LIV Tour and the Saudi money. And now look. And of course, had to keep the PGA Tour members in the dark until he could sign on the dotted line. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. We are pleased to welcome from Ireland and his Fairways of Life golf tour, Matt Adams, who apparently got called into duty. Matt, how does one find out about a PGA LIV merger in the British Isles?
Hey, what's going on, Amy? It was interesting. Yesterday, my producer, Dominic Scarano, called me And he said, "Where are you? Are you on the golf course right now?" And I wasn't. I happened to have just returned from the gymnasium and the beach, because there's a heat wave going on over here, believe it or not. So wow. Amazing things are happening that defy logic all over the world. And so I said, "No, I'm here." And he said, "We need to go on the air right now." I said, "What?" He said, "We need to go on the air right now." He said, "The golf world just exploded." He said, "The PGA Tour, LIV, and the DP World Tour are going to become one under this umbrella from the public investment fund, that's the investment fund of the Saudi royal family." I didn't believe what I was hearing. And so if anyone caught the live Fairways of Life show yesterday, it's on YouTube, you'll hear me reading the press release for the first time, meaning not the first time that I did it on the air, the first time I saw it. So it was an experience that we were sharing together, and it's a day that not only for me, for the world of golf, for everybody, it was probably the most tumultuous announcement that's ever taken place in the history of the game as we know it at a professional level.
Some strong words from Matt Adams as he joins us from Ireland now, got called into duty. So then, you call it tumultuous, but now that you have a chance to read some of the details, maybe hear a little more from the players, their reaction, what do you think?
There's so many different ways to take this, Amy. The first thing is that here you had two, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to say warring bodies. You had two distinct philosophies and approaches. Now, the one thing I will tell you, so much focus has been upon Jay Monahan as the one who's the spokesman of it and the architect, as far as we know, on the PGA Tour side of this. But what was very interesting to me is that in reading that press release, and it named everyone in all of their respective roles, the name Greg Norman was never used.
Right.
He was not in the press conference at all, which causes me to believe that when the music stops playing, that there just simply isn't a chair there, or that when Jay Monahan got into the negotiations at some point or another, he said, "Look, I can't work with this guy. This is the one scar that cannot heal." And so I thought that was interesting. We don't know for certain if that is the case, but it looks that way, because right now we're forced to kind of read clouds on many of the issues surrounding this. From the standpoint to put it in a bottom line, it is the bottom line. I believe that what this is about is money. I believe that this is about a massive, massive sum of money. We don't know what it is yet, but I believe that when we find out, we are all going to be shocked. Because if you look at, there's different elements of their announcement that start to sound very legalese-like, meaning that the Public Investment Fund, PIF, as they call it, they have the right to basically refuse any other sources of capital. Now, normally in a business contract law circumstance, if someone had that right to refuse sources of funding from other places, then they usually have to at least match that source of fund. And it did say specifically that they have the right to add in additional capital pretty much whenever they want to. So the PGA Tour is framing this, and again, this is coming from Jay's comments, the PGA Tour is framing this such as to say, look, we're going to have the majority of the people on the board that's controlling all this, but I still believe that the golden rule holds, that he who has the gold makes the rules. So when it's all said and done, this is an absolutely massive shift in philosophy, obviously in partnerships, and the way that it was done for an organization that is supposedly owned by the players, and none of the players to the highest ranks of the likes of a Rory McIlroy and a Tiger Woods were in any way involved in this, all of that to me is shocking.
I'm not sure if you have heard from any players directly. There were a few that spoke to the Golf Channel and to others in the wake of this. But I'd love to know what you've heard from them in terms of their reaction about, A, being kept in the dark, but also this seems so hypocritical of Jay Monahan.
It's again, a complicated answer from the question that you're asking me, because I have heard from a great deal of players. We reached out to many of them. The vast majority of them wanted to remain anonymous in their answers. By and large, they were shocked. by and large, they're angry at their management that they were not kept informed of what is going on. However, having said that, they also realize that this is going to translate into a lot more money for them. There's a huge amount of money coming in, and because that part of it has not been vetted from the standpoint of the players yet, I believe that that's the ace that Jay Monahan has up his sleeve. Be mad at me now. Mm. Be mad at me for not having you guys involved in this whole thing. Be mad at me from the standpoint of saying I've been telling you forever and having you guys buy into and having you guys tell the world that everything about Liv and their source of funds, et cetera, is wrong. And then turn around and say, no, not only are they our partner, they are our main partner. They are going to be the named main partner in everything that we do. Right. And they're going to look back and say, well, if you tell us what the heck then is going on, it comes down to, guys, it's going to benefit you a lot. And that's the piece that we don't know yet. And I believe that's the piece that Jay is depending on one guy's opinion, that when he goes back to the players and goes, you can be mad at me if you want to, but you really don't know how much we're talking about here. And that's it. We're talking about the pension program. We're talking about purses, all of it. I think it's going to fundamentally rewire the PGA Tour.
Well, Yasser Al-Rumayyan said whatever it takes when asked about the budget. That's literally what he said, whatever it takes. And he mentioned the $100 billion that golf has now, PGA has now, and just said we're out to spend whatever it takes to grow this game. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Matt Adams is with us from Ireland, called into duty. I hope you've had fun while you were there, not all work. If you're Rory McIlroy, Matt, and I don't know if you guys reached out to him, I can imagine. I haven't been able to find any comments anywhere. But if you're Rory, what are you thinking? What are you feeling?
Well, everybody is presuming that Rory McIlroy is going to feel somehow slighted because he was cast in the role as being the spokesman for the PGA Tour in speaking as to how and why the PGA Tour had a, if not a moral high ground, at least a more virtuous approach to the game of golf, that being true legacy in terms of measuring yourselves against era and measuring yourself against the greats of the game, whether you go back to the likes of, you know, a Sam Snead, a Ben Hogan, an Arnold Palmer, a Jack Nicklaus, a Tiger Woods, et cetera. And he spoke passionately about that recently, speaking too about the fact that, look, you could understand if Brooks Koepka gets on the United States Ryder Cup team, because frankly, he's earned his pathway to it with a second place finish at the Masters and then winning the PGA Championship. But as to who all were formerly really good friends of Rory McIlroy, he didn't feel that any of them should be allowed on the European Ryder Cup team, bearing in mind that in the United States, the PGA Tour does not control right. the U.S. side of the Ryder Cup. That is the PGA of America. However, in Europe, it's different. The DP World Tour, formerly called the European Tour, does control that side. So there could have been some context there that was missing in terms of what some people understood. But nonetheless, he still said that he doesn't think they should be back. All of that now seems to be forgiven. I don't think any of this is going to be in place quickly enough to impact this September's Ryder Cup, although we may get surprised by that. We shall see. There just isn't a mechanism at this point to bring those people back in terms of automatic qualifying because so many of the LIV players have fallen in the world rankings because rankings were not awarded to LIV previously. So from that standpoint, I think Rory McIlroy, the perception being that he's going to feel slighted, that he's going to feel duped, that he's going to feel used, that he's going to feel exploited for the platform that he had at this time, because it's not unusual when you go into hardened negotiations that one side, you know, it's pretty much a good cop, bad cop situation, that at a public standpoint, everyone says no, 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 and behind the scenes there are negotiations going on where they're secretly whispering to each other and saying yes, yes, yes. So we haven't heard from Rory McIlroy yet. We have been unable to get in touch with Rory McIlroy to answer the question that you asked in the intro to this question. So I'll be very curious what he has to say. He is scheduled to speak at the Canadian Open. I am curious if he's going to. Something tells me that he'll simply say no. But I don't know. Rory was already dealing with a tremendous amount of weight from the role that he had undertaken. I don't think Rory McIlroy was used to the barbs and arrows that came with asserting yourself in any position, frankly, but certainly in one that was as polarizing as this one had been and now is in a very different way. So that weighed on Rory McIlroy. I think he channeled it very much of last year, all the way through to a FedEx Cup championship. He nearly won at the Open, and it wasn't like he lost it on the final day. Cam Smith went out and shot at 64
right,
just before he went off the live to add to the continuance of this drama. But I think it impacted Rory, his preparation through and to the Masters of this year. And I think Rory, my impression was, and I mean, again, this is just from a guy that whose job it is to observe this game and relay, that I think it looked almost like one of those transcendental moments for Rory where he was sitting back going, is it all worth it? You know, he's got more money than he'll ever spend in his and his kids' lifetime. And is it all worth it for everything that we're putting ourselves through? And now this comes out yesterday to add to it. So I'll be very curious if Rory's perspective on it is to say, you know what, for the good of the game, because in fairness to Rory, a lot of people don't recognize that Rory has been saying for a long time he does think that people need to come together and talk. Maybe Rory will take the olive branch approach with this and say, you know what, there are things that I don't like, but at least we have the power to have an impact on those things now, instead of it being two separate organizations that are warring when one organization wants access and the other one refuses to give it to them. So it's going to be fascinating to see. Rory's a smart guy, and he thinks things through, and I'll be curious about what his position is once we hear.
I got to ask you this. Phil Mickelson had been saying that the PGA Tour needed change, right? He did tweet yesterday, awesome day today, with a smiling emoji. I can imagine he feels validated. Now, you and I have talked about how complicated he is and his position anyway. It was a lot more than just the LIV Tour. There was a lot going on in Phil's life. But what do you think he must be feeling today?
Although obviously Phil is happy about his position, and Phil is brilliant and always has been over the course of decades at manipulating circumstance. So number one, it casts him in the best light, and number two, it makes it look like he had the inside track the whole time. Phil's comments, what happened with Phil, what people don't understand with Phil Mickelson is people who are calling Phil a martyr and people who are saying Phil was persecuted for all of this and now he's proven to be correct have to remember that what Phil was saying that the PGA Tour needed to do more for its players, there was nothing wrong with that. Phil's approach to it, and ultimately what happened with his interview with Alan Shipnuck,
right,
was that which brought Phil down. Phil wasn't brought down because he had reasonable comments to say, hey, more needs to be done. Phil was brought down because he attempted to do what he always attempted to do, which was plant the seed, let it grow into a plant of its own that would strangle the truth out of anybody else's perspective. That's what he's always done. In this case, he planted through an interview with John Huggin from Golf Digest in Europe when he said that the PGA Tour was guilty of obnoxious greed. He was talking about the rights, video rights from the players, television rights from the players. There isn't a league in the world that gives those rights up to the players. So from that standpoint, that was Phil posturing. It backfired on him.
Right.
Then in February of the following year, all the comments came out that he had with Alan Shipnuck, and people realized that the thumbs-up, smiling Phil Mickelson that they thought they knew was willing to do anything that it took to get what he wanted by his own admission. That's what brought Phil down. His comments about what the PGA Tour needed to do are true, were true, and they had meaning and weight when he said it then. How he said it, how he framed it, how he packaged it, and how it was revealed to the public, though, were completely different. Hmm. What's happening now is Phil, because he's brilliant at it, and he's so damn smart, that he's already starting to twist the message to put himself in this golden light and say, hey, I've been telling you all along, and look at the price that I paid for it. The price he paid was of his own making.
Hmm. Okay, one more thing, Matt. Thank you for sharing your perspective. It's always passionate, which I appreciate. Ultimately, is this good or bad for golf or somewhere in between?
It's definitely somewhere in between right now. So from the standpoint of whether it's good or bad for golf, LIV exists. It was going to exist. It was not going away. So anybody that wanted to turn their back to it and say, I don't like your source of funds. I don't like the connection with 9/11 attack. I don't like the connection with obscene abuses of human rights, et cetera. I don't like any of that. Had to come to grips with the fact that if we go out this afternoon and the credit card that we use or the car service that we use to take us to the restaurant for dinner or the entertainment that we're watching, video games or otherwise, dozens and dozens and dozens of companies are backed by the same fund that we use every day. So I've always said the same thing about this. It is easy to cast moral judgment on other people's decisions, that it's very hard to look at ourselves in the mirror and go, wait a minute, I'm benefiting from a source of funding from the same thing. So I don't think anybody has to like the source of funding. I think everybody has a right to hate it if that is what they choose to do. However, I think we all have to look in the mirror and face up to the reality that the public investment fund of the Saudi royal family is invested everywhere, all over the place. And I happen to think that what happened yesterday will also open the floodgates to the same fund coming into even more American sports. When will they buy an NBA team? When will it be an NHL team? When will it be a Major League Baseball? When will it be an NFL team? Money is money, and that's what makes all of these huge sports leagues, teams, and players churn. I believe that you're going to see a flood of that in there. To answer the direct question of is this good for the game, with all of these other decisions that come into this, some contemplative, some were perceived as perverse, the reality is that the game of golf is going to benefit, because the game of golf will no longer have this raging holy war between the top tier on a competitive level. I think it's going to foster massive events. I'm a little concerned about what these massive events might mean in balance against the major championships, but I believe that there will become a series, my opinion, a series of world championship events.
Wow.
Where all of these different leagues come together and compete for purses that we've never seen before.
And this is just scratching the surface, because we really don't have all the details yet. But Matt Adams on Twitter, Matt Adams FOL, so Golf Channel, Fairways of Life. Check out YouTube so you can see the reaction yesterday and a lot of player reaction as well. And again, we know there's going to be more to come. Matt, we appreciate you. You're in Ireland. You're still taking time to give us your insight and your perspective and to join us here live on the show. You are the best. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
You can hear how fired up he is as someone who's been in the world of golf for a long time. And I guess it's a good thing he wasn't on the course yesterday in the British Isles, because he had work to do. But wow, his comments about Phil, those are as pointed as I've ever heard Matt when it comes to Phil Mickelson. So there's a lot more information that we don't know. And Jay Monahan right now is willing to take all the heat. And Matt said, because of the bottom line, he can ultimately say to the PGA Tour members, hey, guess what? You don't have to like me, but you're going to like the money I'm bringing into the sport. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Finals are here, and the biggest assist is happening off the court. BetQL has the best sportsbook deals, bonus offers, and exclusive access to risk-free bets, giving you more bang for your basketball buck. Visit BetQL to unlock special offers and finish the season on a winning note. Whether you're riding with the Joker in Denver or playoff Jimmy in Miami, BetQL's bonus offers can be the alley to your sports betting oop. Go to BetQL.com/hoops to take advantage of these exclusive offers. That's BetQL.com/hoops.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
The rock. Spo making sure no fouls. Jimmy reaches, but no foul called. Murray to tie it. It's out. Heat win. Game two of the 2023 NBA Finals belongs to the Heat. Wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jason Jackson on Miami Heat Radio. Bam Adebayo, back-to-back huge games, a 12 4-0 run by Gabe Vincent and Duncan Robinson at the beginning of the fourth quarter of game number two, and the Denver Nuggets' advantage went up in smoke. Poof. Actually, that's not a great phrase to use right now, considering that 17 of the states in the United States are currently under air quality alerts. That includes the Northeast, includes New Jersey, which is where I live. And I know we can smell the smoke big time. It looks like fog. The visibility in Jersey is down below 5 miles. It's pretty tough. And I know it's not unique. Again, lots of air quality alerts because of the Eastern Canadian wildfires. So that wasn't on purpose, but people need to be safe, of course, and stay inside is what the recommendations are, especially if you have any type of asthma or respiratory issues. Mentioned this earlier. My dog has chronic bronchitis. She's on steroids for it, but I was really kind of nervous about walking Penny, too, because I didn't want her to start coughing as well. So be careful. Hours in Jersey and New York extends through Wednesday at midnight, so might have to work out inside on Wednesday instead, because I don't think I need to go running and smell and be breathing in all that smoke. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us on what is your hump day now on our hump show. Really pointed comments, and I would say passionate comments, from Matt Adams in Ireland about, at least initially, the bombshell announcement of a PGA Live merger, the immediate backlash. We don't have a lot of details yet. Those will come out as we move forward, but he spelled it out pretty plainly. The bottom line is the bottom line. If you missed his comments about Phil Mickelson, though, I'm not sure I've ever heard him take aim at Phil quite as specifically as he did. So Jimmy Butler, of course, so important to the team, but it's not just him, right? It's everybody chipping in. They need all hands on deck. They need to be able to hit threes. They need to be able to spread out the offense. And they need a Bam Adebayo who's athletic, who's not just scoring, but who's keeping Nikola Jokic occupied.
Bam's been playing incredibly well this entire playoffs, for sure this series. And this one, he got, like, the toughest matchup by far on the defensive side of the ball. And he plays with so much energy. He never takes a possession or a playoff. So you got to really respect him for that. And then on the offensive end, he's doing everything for us. So we need him to continually be that. He has been that for us all year long. And like I said, he's going to be the reason why we win the championship.
He just continues to double and triple and quadruple down. Jimmy Butler, unwavering confidence that certainly is contagious for the team.
Damn right.
As for the Denver Nuggets, Jamal Murray actually says the team is relaxed because of a great move by Jeff Green now that they're in South Florida.
Jeff took us to team dinner last night at his house, all the way out in Narnia. But it was a good vibe, you know, just to have everybody there, forgetting about the last game, knowing that we're here as a team, as a family, trying to accomplish something, means a lot. So a lot of his mentality for me, I just like to keep your right mindset. So when everybody's in a good spirit and even come off a loss, I think that's huge. So shout out to Jeff for getting that team activity together.
Yeah, they just need to have that killer instinct. Once they get the lead, they can't cough it up. Of course, that plays right into Miami's wheelhouse. So game three of the NBA Finals is tonight, 8:30 Florida time, 6:30 Denver time, 5:30 Pacific time. We're also keeping our eyes on what's happening at the French Open. Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz headed for a clash in the men's semifinals. We had so much fun football stuff to throw out at you. Even Frank Vogel, he wants Kevin Durant to be scrappy. Scrappy was the word Frank Vogel used about the Suns, his new team. He wants KD to be scrappy. Do you see KD as a scrapper?
Come on, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. Not so sure about that. I will, I promise, tell you the story of how the baby bunny ambushed me on my own porch. I mean, the poor bunny, she's so disoriented, she ran right into me. But that'll have to wait until tonight. Have a great Wednesday. Talk soon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!